now we are one. Forgive me, I would be the only one who take off the mask at this moment. I know that in orange light we should be able to take off our mask, but for safety, for the larger congregation, we will be at least having our mask on as we're having worship in the main hall, in the indoor area for at least this week. Next time we'll discuss about that and see how we should follow it and the progress of Omicron. So, the mask itself, as I was saying, the mask itself reminding us something. There are people who are at home. They're not able to join us here in person. There are people in the hospital. There are people in other part of the world, just across the Tasman Sea in Australia. There are also a lot of people. They will not have that freedom of not having a mask. But we know that we all have the freedom from Christ as we live in Christ. The first day of 2022, as I woke up in the morning, my natural way to wake up is take out my phone, check about news. Who have that habit as well? And the first news come up from stuff is a family. The son is sharing about their father have passed away around half a year ago. He said that he was just starting to retire. He was 75, but he died in a road accident. I guess that's come up because during the holiday period, the news are, there's just a lot of, news about warning us, to be careful on the road. I get that. That news come up and it's sort of reminding us our life. None of us is 75. I won't be able to say that in the next service, but none of us here is 75 yet, right? Abraham was 75 when he started his journey. At the beginning of 2022, we'll be looking at the life of Abraham in a series called Following God's Plan. Because he is one of the people who following God's plan closely, and we will try to learn from that. But we start from the first one. We look back a little bit before he actually make that decision of following God's plan. Think about the last time you make an important decision. When was that? Or maybe you're about to make an important decision. Certainly these days when we make an important decision, it's all sort of controlled by the spread of COVID. It's not that you can always control everything when you make the decision. But how long did it take you to make that decision? Let's not include those who just said yes to marriage proposal or who have just proposed. I'm pretty sure you have a good thought about that, although that at that moment you say yes quickly. Although the offer won't expire, right? Even she waited. Sorry, Daniel, because you sit in the front row. God said to Abraham, he said, it's time to go. Then Abraham went. When Abraham said yes, when he followed God's plan in his life, he also have a good thought about it. I'm pretty sure about that. Although it's behind the scene, you don't see it in the scripture. It's more or less like when Jesus said to the disciple, follow me. Certainly some of them just, they responded immediately, because it's Jesus in front of you. But some of the disciples, they have heard about Jesus for a while. They even though during that 3 years, they were still thinking, they follow Jesus physically, but how can I follow the master? Because he said weird things, and I just cannot understand. But when some of them, when Jesus said, "Follow me," and then they just stand up and they just follow them, leave everything behind. So I'm not trying to normalize the power of the call. That moment is still the moment. I just want to say that no matter it's a disciple or Abraham, they have been prepared for that moment. The moment of, like, leap of faith. They have been prepared. They were informed, they have thought that through, and then even at that moment, they need to jump. The move is still beyond normal reasoning. But if you don't prepare, I mean, you try to jump without preparing, you cannot jump. Definitely not that cliff. By the way, I'm not too sure it's about the physics, like it's jumping up, so it's really difficult. But that's like, I mean, that kind of jump is what we're doing, right, as we're following God's plan. But remember, we are not the first one who made the jump. Not even Abraham. He wasn't the first one. Maybe the disciple, they can claim they're the first batch of disciples following Jesus. But Abraham wasn't a pioneer. What do we know about Abraham? I mean, Abraham is the name before God gave him the name Abraham. It's not much if you just read from Genesis 12. It's not a lot. I mean, God said a lot of things and Abraham went as the Lord has told him. Who is his father? Who is his grandfather? Do you know his father? His grandfather? Or his great-grandfather? Do you know your... Who actually know the name? Who can write down your name of your grandfather? Who can write down the name of your great-grandfather? Do you know the face of your great-grandfather? I mean, if you have been to a cemetery, maybe you have seen the face and maybe you can remember the name. But it's rare for us to actually know the name of our great-grandfather. Certainly you haven't met your great-grandfather. What about your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? Definitely is nowhere. But Abraham knew about that. And you know that person. His great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather is Noah. That's the passage that we don't usually read. Maybe you have never read in detail. That's why I didn't use this as the start as the passage of today, or else you'll be, oh no. Come on, again. This is the first Sunday of the year. Come on. But I'm going to read that through. Bear with me with the name. 2 years after the flood, that's after the flood, after the Tower of Babel, and that's true. This is the genealogy of Abraham's family. When Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad. And after he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah lived 30 years, he became the father of Eber. And after he became the father of Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber has lived 34 years, he became the father of Peleg. And after he became the father of Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he became the father of Reu. And after he became the father of Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and had other sons and daughters. And Reu has lived 32 years. You're still with me? 32 years, he became the father of Seru. And after he became the father of Seru, Reu lived 207 years and had other sons and daughters. And when Seru had lived 30 years, he became the father of Nahor. And after he became the father of Nahor, Seru lived 200 years and had other sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and had other sons and daughters. And after Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. You experience, you see the difficulty of reading through this passage. That's why. Who has actually read through that before when you, and you have, who have finished the book of Genesis? Yes. Who have read through this, like, in that kind of way? Every single name. Yeah, that's cool. So you can tell me something. What have you noticed from that? One or two things. I mean, there's quite a number of things that... people die earlier. Yeah, okay. Yep. They have shorter lives. And? What else? They have their first children at their 30s, right? Around, most of them. And suddenly, for the last one, Terah his children at his 70s. Are you not surprised? I mean, because after reading so many things, that would just become a number. It's difficult. That's why we have this. That's exactly the same thing. More or less exactly the same thing. Apart, I add one line of Noah. I mean, not me. I just get it from the web and add those names back. And for the first one, Noah, I add that. And I put a line for the flood because it's 2 years after the flood and Shem start that passage. It's more apparent. I mean, like, the green part is the time before they have the first children. What else can you see from there? There's one more thing. Noah died at his 900 and something years, and then at that time, Abraham has been born already. Do you notice that before? I didn't. I mean, as I ever asked you that, none of you know your great grandfather, but Noah is Abraham's great 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 grandfather. Do you remember last year when we have our 30 years anniversary, and when you look, we hang out some photos under the television, and people try to look for their face and look for the person who was standing next to them, whether they are still standing next to them, or like in the building, and then grab them and say, "Oh, look at you." We certainly photos is easier. Who have actually flipped through to the back of the booklet and looked through the history? Like the names of the pastor, the name of the important things. Some of us do that. For those, who has actually have done that? Let me see. Yeah, not a lot of people. Because you're too young. You don't know those names. But if you know those names, you have the interest to look through it. We don't know those names. That's why, I mean, we don't have a lot of interest to look through that. Abraham, certainly he has. He know all those names. Because at the same period, he lived with them. Those are his family. Not sure whether they live in the same place or not. So I'm not blaming you. As we're not Abraham, I won't blame you for not being able to go through all those lines. So what's the point? I mean, I cannot understand why Noah still lived for so long after the flood. He's done the big part of his job, and I cannot understand why. But after this, I'm thinking, oh, maybe God wants them to meet each other. Do you think, I mean, after looking at that, do you think Abraham has met Noah during his life? Maybe. Right? I mean, if your great 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 grandfather is still alive, I'm sure no matter where he is, you will go and pay a visit to him and listen to his story. Especially that person is Noah. Certainly, I mean, from the Old Testament, if you look at those commentary, you know that there's all sort of explanation. Like, first of all, why he have 900 years, and is it accurate? Is this why this is not matching with some other passages in the Bible? I mean, this graph, if you look at Acts 4, and you find something, oh, it's not quite right. But when we just look at this passage, you know that the author of the Bible is telling us something. Like, it seems like Noah is passing on his torch to Abraham. And when we want to follow God's plan, there's one tip I would like to give to you, is we should go and talk to some older person, like people who have been there, who have followed God's plan in their life, who has lived long enough, they see the result. Surely Noah, by that time, you see the result of the time. You know that before the flood, the 100 years as he was building the ark, people laughing at him, teasing him. Well, he didn't know anything about it. He just followed God's will. He just followed everything that God wants him to do. But now he know. At 900 years, he know the result of that. And he is going to share with you. So if you have chance, if you know someone that you look up to, or you find someone in this church, even in this church, it's like 30, we're going to have a 31st anniversary soon. If you find someone whose name is in that booklet, and you have never talked to him, and you want to think about what we should do as a part of CACC, as you know, it's not coincidence that you are here. I mean, you can be in another church, you can be in Elam Church, you can be in PCBC, there's Holy Word Church, there's so many churches here. But you're here for a while at least, and I'm not wrong, you have desired to be here for maybe the next year. Hopefully, at least. And you want to do something, you want to serve God, we want to follow God's plan. And what's His plan for CACC? What is His plan on you with CACC? So talking to one of the older person, in among this congregation, among the Canaanite congregation, it would be helpful. He may tell you some story that what they have failed to do, they was to do. I totally lost from my script, but that's the first point. The second one. But some of the time, then you just think, oh, it depends who I talk to, who I choose whom to talk to. Abraham's father, Terah. Do you know anything about him? No, not quite. Do you think he will talk to his father about, like, how to follow God's plan? Maybe. But, I mean, if you go for a little bit more, I have a lot of doubts. Maybe he won't. The reason is, that was like also before chapter 12, before those famous few verses. He said, Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, the wife of his son Abraham, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. That's a special place, right? We know that that's a promised land. They set out to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there, and Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. He never reached Canaan. It didn't say that he's not able to go there. He said his goal to go there, but he didn't arrive there. But it sort of rang about to me and said, why? I mean, why he stay at Haran and not go forward? And so I look up, Jewish rabbi. They like to try to explain what is in the Bible. And they have all sort of other historical documents that help them. Sometimes they use their creativity. So what I'm about to say is not in the scripture, and that's how they have been adding to the information here. According to a famous rabbi, he said Terah was in the idol business. He made idols.
It said that when Abraham was 13 years old, he figured out that worshipping idol was wrong. How he figured that out? He came up with an amazing realization. He said, you just cannot make a god. I mean, if you can make a god, you have power over God, then that's not God, right? I mean, a 13 years old should be able to figure that out. I'm pretty sure you figured that out already. So what did he do? What will you do? Your father is in the idol business. And then, what will you do? Yeah, you may tell him off. Abraham actually do something quite special. He sees a stick. I mean, during a time that he was asked to look after the store, and he took a stick, he smashed all the image, all those idols. And he placed the stick on the biggest idol. Okay, and then his father come back in and say, what happened? Who have done that? And Abraham said, oh, a woman came in the shop and he have something to offer to this god, flowers. I mean, something to for them to eat. And then a small god said, oh, I want to eat that first. And the other one said that they want to eat it first. And then the biggest one said, you all stop and I will smash you. And then he took this flower. And then his father Terah said, it's impossible. The god cannot do anything like that. Okay, then Abraham said, oh yeah, you have said that. God, this God, this idol cannot do anything. Well, I mean, the whole story is, I'm just trying to tell you that, well, not everyone who are older than us, who are earlier in the generation, that they are right. They may be totally wrong, very wrong, they need you to tell them off, or in a creative way to let them know. That may not be the right, that may not be the way that God wants us to follow. So when you talk to people, it's a time for both sides to learn. Maybe I should go to the last part. I mean, Abraham may have thought about leaving his father for a long time. Imagine if that really happened at his 13 years old, and he only left at 75. Maybe you have a big question mark on the second part of God's plan. The second part is that God said He will make you in a great nation. At that time, you won't be elected as the prime minister. So the only way is like you have a lot of children and you became a great nation by reproduction. The thing is, Abraham was 75 years old with no son. His wife Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. I'm sure you know about that part of the story. So it's very difficult for him. It's not easy to follow. I mean, God's plan is difficult for him. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem that it will work out. And it's not just for Abraham. That's very familiar with before Jesus get back to heaven. He said this to his disciples. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Is that easy? It's not. Difficult to follow. And even you want to follow that, your parents may not want you to follow. But I mean, I'm really glad that in our church there are a few examples that the parents are very supportive when people said they want to do that all the time. Say, if you can go, I mean, the odds are still quite bad. The success rate of making disciples is really low. And everyone, I mean, if you look at the Christian website, you see that Christianity is declining especially in the Western world. But if you want to follow God's plan on you, you're going to do that. That definitely is something uphill. It's not easy. That's why Abraham looked up to Noah. That's why we look up to them. And most importantly, we look up to Jesus. So as we plan for the coming year, 2022, don't just look forward. Look backward a little bit. That's important as well. You may not see a desirable trend, but you know that you are not, also maybe not all the forerunners like your father may not agree with that. They may not be walking on the right path just like Tara. But you definitely can find someone who have been following God's will all the time, and you can learn from them. Find your Noah. Find that person. He will inspire you. But expect to fight for some changes. But you know that truth will win. And be prepared for the uphill journey. But don't worry, God will carry you. Abraham has done quite well in the passage that we mentioned today. He went. Simply, he just followed. Next week, we'll continue to look at, read from chapter 12 and see whether we have missed anything as we, pretty sure you have read through that before. We'll see whether there's anything we miss. But at least we know that Abraham is not perfect. Just like us. He's not perfect. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we give thanks to you that you give us your scripture, your word, and you let us learn from that. And Lord, we give thanks to you that you give us your table, the Lord's table as well. And you invite all of us who are imperfect to come to your table and be part of you as we united, we take the bread and the blood, the body of you and the blood of you. So that we, as we partake, we have a share in you. So that you live in us and we live in you. So Lord, help us to follow closely. Follow your will closely. Help us to know your will. Help us to be able to follow it closely. Especially, Lord, help us to find the Noah that who may guide our way on how to follow you. Lord, we are coming to your table very soon, and Lord, help us to examine ourselves, to look back a little bit on 2021. Is there anything that you want us to do, but we fail to do that? Lord, we're so sorry about that. But Lord, today is the day that we say sorry to you, and then we stand up again and we follow you again, follow you closely again. So be with us, Lord. In your name we prayed. Amen. So it's the time for communion. I would like to invite every one of you who have been baptized, who want to follow Jesus closely.